Can we all say amen to that?
Amen.
Where are you?
Where are you? That's the first question in the Bible.
Where is he?
Where is he? That's the first question in the New Testament. Two questions. Where are you? Where is he? One is the first question in the Old Testament. The other is the first question in the New Testament. Now, the Bible is divided into two books. They're not equal in length, but we have the Old Testament and we have the New Testament. The Old Testament tells about God's people and the dealings with God here, there, and yonder with the children of Israel and the people that came after them. There were prophecies in this Old Testament concerning Jesus. The New Testament is basically the life of Jesus and what happened to the early Christians. So with the Bible divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament, I think it's extremely interesting that the Old Testament would have a question in its first page. Where are you? And I think it's equally interesting that in the New Testament, the first page or so, the first question, where is he? Now, God asked the first question. He said, where are you? This is God speaking, asking a question to man. In the New Testament, it is the reverse order. We have man asking, where is he? Referring to God. We read this in Genesis chapter 2, and we find that the word says, that evening they heard the Lord walking in the garden, and they hid from him among the trees. But the Lord God called out to the man, where are you? God's calling out today to mankind, where are you? Now, in the New Testament, we find that the wise men were coming. They were the ones who studied the stars. They came from the east to Jerusalem. And we find that they asked the question, where is he, born king of the Jews? I want to ask these two questions to you this morning. I want to further ask, is not this the purpose of our being here, the purpose of the church being here, the activity of the Christian world today? And namely, it is to evangelize the world. Now, for our theme this next 1978 year, which will be in just in a few days, we want to take as our theme the Great Commission. Jesus has already said, go, tell, teach, baptize. In years gone by, we have had special themes. 2 years ago, our theme was around the chorus that we sometimes would sing, that the captives would be set free. And many people in our congregation were set free because they had been shackled by one type sin or another. So many things that involve our being. And it was the year of Jubilee we proclaimed. The next year, which is this current year, we said it was going to be life in the family. Now, this did not mean in any wise that it was not going to be a time when people could be set free. That continues. But our focal point, our emphasis, was upon life in the community church family. Many people grew as a result of this. Others began to open up, and it was a beautiful time in the life of our church. This does not mean that next year won't be life in the family either, but our emphasis is going to be upon implementing these questions that are asked in the Word of God. God is searching for man. Man is searching for God. God says, where are you? The wise men said, where is he? And today the two are coming together. It's just like last summer at the beach house. We made a huge sand pile on the beach, and it was a big sand castle. We started tunneling through it. And we had a hand going this way, and we had a hand going this way. And I was searching, and the children were searching. And we were just grafting and grabbing and pulling out the sand. And, well, that's the way it is with God. He is looking and searching for us. And hopefully, we would be searching for him. And then comes that magical time, Christmas, when the hands meet. And on the beach house, we yell out, hooray, we made it, we made it. And when you reach out to God, and as God reaches down to you, and we make that clasping of our hands, you know, it is Emmanuel with us. It's nothing but Christmas. It's a great time. The first word of man to God in Genesis chapter 3, verse 10 was, "I was afraid." The first word of God to man in the New Testament was, "Fear not." You recall the angels that evening? They came to the shepherds. And this was God speaking through the angel to man. And God said, "Fear not." And I think it's sort of the way it is with life, with the first word in the Old Testament and the first word in the New Testament of God to man and man to God. "I was afraid." Today, people are afraid. Oh, you wouldn't tell it. You wouldn't show it. But inside, there is this civil war raging, and we are afraid. We are afraid of the future. We are afraid of what's going to happen. We are afraid of this. We are afraid of that. We are afraid of our business. We are afraid at school. We are afraid. We may handle it quite well. People may indeed not even know it. But God knows it. And so God says, "Fear not. I'm with you." Now, the Bible's love story is simply that. It's a story of one searching for another in a romance. A romance that is a fairy tale, but yet it is true. It's storybook in nature, but it's true. It's a romance between God and man coming together. And the wise men represented the entire human race in their search for God. And so today, in every age, in every sphere, in every nation, they are and always have been those who are seeking God. And maybe you too today. God searches first because God loved first. God searches first because God came to us long before we even started to look for Him. In Jeremiah 31, we read, "I have loved you," God says, "with an everlasting love." And this is the love story of God. He says, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." You young people who are dating, and you may find your one and only, you think, and some have told me this, "I know she's for me. I love her, but you know she doesn't love me." Or is this the opposite, the other way around? "She doesn't love me." Sometimes this love story is one-sided, with God pouring out His love toward us. He loves us with an everlasting love, but we say, "So what? We can do it ourselves." The Bible says, "Why should the clay speak up to the potter? The clay has no right to speak to the potter, but yet the clay says, 'What in the world are you doing, potter?'" We say, "What are you doing, God?" And God continues to love us. And God says, "If you're searching for me, I want to help you out and give you a guiding star." And Jesus is the star. 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 14, or verse 19, it says, "So we are even more confident of the message proclaimed by the prophets. You will do well to pay attention to it, because it is like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns, and the light of the morning star shines in your hearts." Well, Jesus is the star. He is the bright morning star, the book of Revelation says. The wise men had the star to guide them to that star, who was the light, as we symbolize with these candles. And the star of Jesus has spoken to us. Listen to Jeremiah 29, verse 11 following. "Then you will call to me, you will come and pray to me, and I will answer you. You will seek me, and you will find me," God says, "because you will seek me with all your heart. Yes, I say, you will find me, and I will restore you to your land. I will gather you from every country and from every place to which I have scattered you. I'll bring you back to the land from which I have sent you away into exile. I, the Lord, have spoken." He says, "You will seek me and find me." So the question then, obviously, God is saying, "Where are you?" The question, "Where is he?" And God says, "I am close to you. I want you to know that you can find me. Isaiah put it in these words, Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. If you turn to the Lord and you pray to him now that he is near, then as the wicked leave their way of life and change their way of thinking, then let them turn unto the Lord our God, for he's merciful and quick to forgive. So here we have God's search. And he's searching right now. And you know if he's found you or not. Oh, it's not that he doesn't know where you are, but it's the other way around. You know if you said, here I am. It's like playing hide and seek with God. God knows where you are right this minute. He knows if you're in or if you're out of the ark. And he waits and he yearns for you to come. He says, now, angels, I have sent the prophets to tell him about me. I've sent my son to tell him about me. I have sent today evangelists and missionaries and pastors and teachers to tell him about me. And they've heard. And I'm just waiting now for them to come. I'm waiting, I'm waiting. Well, it's like the man who came from Hungary to America. When he came to this country, it was his heart's desire to make some money so he could send for his son and send for his wife. Well, in the meantime, unfortunately, his wife died. And so the neighbors started taking care of his son. He worked day and night, week and month, and finally he had enough money to send back to the old country so that his son could come be with him. And this father yearned and waited and just waited and pleaded to God that the days would hurry by so that his son would be right with him. And he waited and he waited. Now his son had a long way to go. Friends took care of him. They helped him across the Alps. They helped him get to the place where he could board the steamer. While he was on the steamer, some people took up a collection and gave to him. Some of the help on board the ship went out of their way to wash and dry his clothes. Others gave him food. There was a tag around his neck telling of his destination and telling his name and giving to those who needed it at the right time his passport and his ticket. He had a long way to go. And somebody would see him. He was away from home, but they would see on the ticket where he was trying to go. And they helped him. And they helped. And finally, the steamer made it to New York City. A new friend, made the telephone call to the father. And the father could hardly wait to get down there and greet his son because he had waited and waited and waited. He had called out, you know, where is he? When's he going to get here? And finally, he came. And today, God is calling upon you to come to him right now. Come to him. Forget what the world says, but come to me, God says, and you'll have help along the way, just like that little boy had help along the way. God's searching, and then there's the search of man. But you know, I don't think today too many people are concerned about searching for God. You can answer that question for yourself. Are you really concerned about searching for God? Most people aren't. It's unlike the little boys who were digging, I read a few years ago, along the banks of the Mystic River in Massachusetts, and they discovered a bag of coins, and they were very old, dating back to the middle 1800s, and some even before then. Well, it didn't take long for the word to spread, there's something here. And all their friends came and they started digging, and then the state got involved, and they put in money to dig, and they dug up the whole part of the bank at that section of that state, and they found, well, only $32 more of coins. But for a while, there was so much excitement because they had found something. Jesus is saying, I want to give you life. And there can be excitement in that. And then as you catch on, well, your neighbor will catch on. And the word will spread on and on and on. Only if we search for God as we should. As we search, God says, I've given you the chart. It's Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. And when you come to the way, he gives you eternal life. My friend, eternal life is not something that's going to happen when we die. Eternal life happens when we believe in Jesus. That's when the eternal life begins. And that's what makes you a Christian. And that's what sets you apart from your neighbor. Because there's something in you that's going to last for eternity. And that is Jesus. Because he is everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting. And when you die without him, there's nothing everlasting except your soul without Jesus. But when you've invited him in, when the search is all over, when the hand clasp has been made, then that eternal life begins. Today there are people who are traveling from north to south, from east to west, and they're searching and they're looking. And they're searching for him, that is God, in all kinds of emotional and spiritual experiences. They're trying ecstasy and trauma and self-affliction and transcendental meditation, group therapy, isolation, positive thinking, and you name it. They're trying everything, anything, everywhere, anywhere. And all along, the answer is right in their home, in that dust-covered Bible, which they keep on their bed table or wherever they keep their Bible. Right there, unopened, is the right answer. In fact, you can find him right now before you leave in a few minutes, if you've never found him. You don't have to go on a big search. You know, he is right here, right now. But some people get all involved in their searching, and they get confused in their searching, and they lose perspective in their searching. And maybe you're like the man who went on a trip. He got to the new city in the new country. He put his bags in that sort of rundown hotel room, and he walked out to sort of look around. Well, he got lost. He couldn't find his way back. He couldn't communicate. He had nothing to tell him where he was supposed to go. He had a key, but there was no name on it. And, well, he had something, but it wasn't what he needed at the right time. And so in desperation, he just, after aimlessly wandering around, decided to get another room for the evening, which he did, thinking that the next day he could find his way better in the light, which he did. And it was right next door. What he was looking for was right next door. My friend, what you're looking for now to satisfy you is not in all of the things the world gives, but it's right here in the Word of God. It's right here. It's the Bible's chart of Jesus, who is that star. And he says, here I am, if you follow me. The Acts 17:27 says, though he be not far from every one of us. And this is our thrust now. This is our thrust tomorrow of evangelism. Because the star still is shining. And Jesus is the star of God's love and the star of God's grace. And so I ask you this morning to follow the light, and your search will not be in vain. I ask you to complete the love story between God and man. As he reaches out, you reach out too. So that it will not be a one-sided love affair. That's what I ask you to do as we stand and pray right now. Our Father, we represent a needy people today. Amid all the affluency of our season, amid all of the things that we've done to prepare for this day, indeed, we still have a need. And maybe there are some people here today who have been so wrapped up in preparing for Christmas that they have forgotten why they even got wrapped up in wrapping up the presents. And maybe the first kind of a prayer would be, Lord, forgive us our Christmases. And we thank you that amid it all, you still love us and you're searching for us. And as you look down from heaven, as if it were, we must appear to you like a little child lost in a great department store crying out for his father. And yet you've given ample time for us to receive. And so as we have stood now, we want to acknowledge your presence. We want to stand in the presence of King Jesus, the star of God's love, the star of God's grace. And we want to open up our heart and say, Jesus, come in. We don't want another repeat performance of not having room in an inn. And as we sing this concluding hymn, I pray that the Holy Spirit would touch our hearts, that there would be those who would step out and say, I want to become a Christian. I believe in Jesus. And others would be making the prayer that they should pray, the commitment that they should make, the response that they should follow. And we commit this, the most important part of this time of worship, to Jesus. Amen. Would you turn with me to hymn number 25? Number 25. And as we sing this hymn, which talks to us about Jesus leaving his throne, and the refrain which says, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. May this be the most blessed Christmas for you that you've ever had in your whole life, because you have decided to do something about what Christmas is all about.
Thank you. there is a way to get that tree out of Calvary. And he gave to Jesus and he said, partake of me, come to me, and I'll make all things new. My friend, I want this for you this next year. And all you have to do is just in your heart right now say, I do too.
Thank you for this expression of your love, and we pray for you by name.